All right, here it is, Thursday, heading into a college football weekend. It is the big game, of course, Army-Navy, going to be happening this weekend. So is Kennesaw State at home, 2 o'clock kick against South Dakota State in the quarterfinals, the Elite Eight, whatever you want to call it, of the FCS. That'll be at Kennesaw, 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The big to-do Saturday, of course, will be the Heisman in New York, where everybody is, I think most people anyway, Hugh Douglas, or welcome back to the show with John and Hugh, expecting Tua Tagovailoa to win the Heisman this year.
Hands down.
And it will be interesting. There are only three guys going to New York. Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma, and Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback for Ohio State. Poor Dwayne has got it a little bit different than anybody else because Dwayne's going to be asked an awful lot about his coach when the media gets up there, not during the ceremony so much, but in terms of the other media talking to the players and whatnot. College Football Notebook is brought to you by Dixie Vodka. If you're going to the Kennesaw State game and you're going to tailgate at Fifth Third Bank there in Kennesaw, a Southern tailgate not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and, by God, raised in the South. All right, let's talk about coaching searches and whatnot because there's a lot of news. So Mel Tucker, defensive coordinator of the Georgia Bulldogs, is now out. He is gone. He is off to Colorado as the Buffaloes, or pardon me, because Colorado fans get mad, the Golden Buffaloes of Colorado, which is, I guess, their official nickname, is now the head coach in Boulder. So Mel Tucker is gone. He has left. He's going to go recruit 13 days ahead of signing day here. Mel Tucker said, yeah, Sugar Bowl, not so much. See ya. You have a problem with Mel Tucker Bolton like that?
I understand it. Listen, I understand it, how it works, and I'm a cut and dry kind of person. Let me just put that out there, and I know that the world doesn't always work like that. I understand that, but you want the kids to go out there and be loyal to the program and go out there and play for their brothers and things of that nature, and you know, support the program, but you leave. Now, I understand, again, that he has a job that he has to do as far as recruiting and getting his new team ready to go. But you have unfinished business at UGA, and that's how I look at it. Now, I'm not sitting up here, you know, browbeating Coach Tucker for going out and taking advantage of a great situation for him to become a head coach anywhere. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm saying is coaches need to understand when players decide not to play in bowl games because they want to work on another career path for them. And the career path is the NFL. So don't be mad. You can't get mad at a player for saying, okay, I'm going to take this time out instead of beating up my body one last time. I think I'm going to decide to work on my combine drills and do that and you know, get ready for that. So you can't be mad at the players when they do things of that nature, when coaches are out there, you know, lining their pockets with some cheddar. You can't do the same. You can't have it both ways.
Now, DeAndre Baker, the star cornerback of the Georgia Bulldogs, who is considered not only a first-round pick but a high first-round pick, has said he will play in the bowl game against the Texas Longhorns, but his coach, his coordinator, will not be there because Mel Tucker. Now, if I'm a Colorado fan, I'm going, yeah, I want Mel Tucker here. I want him to recruit. We got 13 days to signing day. You want to save the class that you've already recruited. What Mike McIntyre may have done and whatever Mel Tucker was recruiting that you want to bring along. And, you know, we've got to get our recruiting class. It's about us. It's not about the Georgia Bulldogs anymore. We're paying you. Having said that, Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator at Alabama, is the new head coach at Maryland. But like Kirby Smart and like Jeremy Pruitt, who left his coordinators from Alabama, Kirby, of course, Georgia, Jeremy to Tennessee, they stayed during it because it was the playoffs. Locksley has said he will stay with Alabama so long as Alabama's in the playoffs. Now he's going to do the kind of the dual thing here where he's going to be kind of back and forth as Kirby was, as Pruitt was, where you're splitting time between College Park and Tuscaloosa and you're recruiting for Maryland and also coaching up, you know, the team for the bowl game here. But he's going to stay with Alabama so long as Alabama's making a run at a national title, which I sort of understand. But let me put it to you in these terms. If I'm a Maryland fan, I'm not happy about that.
They're in the 14 playoffs, though. Now, see, this is where
I understand that.
This is where I was saying, this is what I was saying, and I understand it because somebody just asked me a question. DJ Special K just said, if UGA was in the top four, do you think he would have left? I think not. It's a different. But this is what I'm talking about. Everybody puts so much emphasis on the 14 playoffs that the bowl games don't matter.
Right.
So why get mad at the kids that are not playing in the 14 playoffs for deciding not to play and deciding to get ready for the combine? It's the same thing.
I have no problem with them skipping the bowl games.
Yeah,
none.
It's the same thing. To me, it's the same thing. If the coaches out there, if like, and you, we always like to say, a team mirrors his coach. Oh, well, hell, if coach don't care nothing about the bowl game that we're playing in, the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl, whatever bowl, if he don't care nothing about it, why should I?
Right.
He leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's the purpose? Now, to answer that question, if they're in the 14 playoffs, he probably would have stayed. Probably would have stayed because that's business that you had to take care of. And to be honest and to be factual, Kirby Smart, when Georgia was offering him the job, he stayed there till he finished business at Alabama before he came.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be mad at him. And I'm not mad at him. And it's a different situation. It's a different scenario for the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide as opposed to Georgia Bulldogs.
Right, because the list of star players, potential first-round picks that are not playing in bowl games this year is long. And it's star-studded. Greedy Williams, Greedy Williams, top five pick. And he has said he is not going to play for LSU against UCF. Ed Oliver, also potentially a top five, if not top 10, if not top five pick for Houston. Not going to play in Houston's bowl game. N'Keal Harry is a star player. Debo Samuel at South Carolina. They're not playing in their bowl games. And so there's a growing list of players who are not playing in their bowl games, and it's lengthy. And I don't blame a one of them because they're not playing in the playoffs. Now, if you're playing in the playoffs, that seems to me a different animal. If all of a sudden a star, let's say Raekwon Davis of Alabama or Quinnen Williams of Alabama, suddenly said, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the combine here and not play in the playoffs for a national title. I don't know, Hugh, that I wouldn't have a different opinion of that one. I'd be saying, man, okay, you can. I understand that you want to go play for your team. I get that. But at the same time, you want to, you're playing for a national title here.
Has that happened, though?
Not yet.
It probably won't.
Who knows? I mean, right now, here's the MO at the moment. If you're a coordinator, Pruitt, Kirby, Loxley now, and you become a head coach and you're going into the playoffs, you stay and do a dual job. If you're a player and you're going to the NFL and you're in the playoffs, you do not leave and quit on your team and not go to the playoff and the bowl games and whatnot. However, outside of that, everybody does. That's why Mel Tucker didn't do, you know.
Yeah, you won't. I don't see a guy doing that. I don't see anybody that's in the 14 playoff doing that. I don't see that happening because that's a moment and that solidifies you in history. You go down in history for that one. I mean, you know, bowl games are nice, but to be realistic, nobody remembers the winner of the Carquest Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the things of that. I'm just making up names as I go along. I'm just saying.
Right. You know. I mean, even the Peach Bowl just took a hit because Rashawn Gary, the star defensive tackle at Michigan, said he's not playing against Florida.
I mean, it's nice, and I get that, and I understand where, you know, for me, I look at it a little different. I probably would have played because, you know, that's an opportunity for me to walk with my old teammates forever, and I get that. But when you're talking about the significance of being in the 14 playoffs and the significance that we've put on it, then those other bowl games – don't carry as much weight as they used to carry. And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's why it is the way that it is. So I'm not mad at Coach Tucker. I'm not mad at none of these young kids that have decided not to play. Those are decisions that you have to make for yourself. You have to make those for yourself. And somebody's always going to have something to say about that. But as far as being in the 14 playoffs, I can't see anybody. Can't see anybody, even if coach gave them permission to do it, sitting out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at your teammates and they're looking at you like, bro, we need you, bro. You know, we got this far. We got this far for a reason. And we got this far because you were here. So, no, I don't see that happening.
Meantime, as we talk about some of the coaching situations in college football, we mentioned to you earlier, there are just, and it's only rumors that Jim Harbaugh and the Packers and might have some wanderlust to go back to the NFL. I don't think it'll surprise any Michigan fan that at some point Jim Harbaugh leaves Ann Arbor because that's just apparently in his nature. It may not be now. It may be 5 years from now, but it just is, you know, kind of in his nature that if he leaves. But I'm just saying, those are just strictly rumors, okay? Don't go anywhere with those. However, Georgia Tech, there's some open jobs right now. Again, we're 13 days away from signing day. Wonder what gives over on the plains, over on the flats, pardon me, as Georgia Tech does not have a new head coach to replace Paul Johnson yet. A lot of leading indicators about Ken Wisenhunt and a lot of, mixed reviews over the idea of hiring Ken Wisenhunt as the head coach. But there is still a short list that includes other names besides Wisenhunt, though Scott Satterfield is already gone to ACC rival Louisville, so you can scratch him off the list as he became the head coach of the Louisville Cardinals. And, Tony Elliott is another name that has come up, the offense coordinator from Clemson, who is highly regarded and is a, potentially a, you know, Tony Elliott would be a very good hire for Georgia Tech, in my opinion, Hugh. National Assistant Coach of the Year last season, still a young guy, under 40, offensive coordinator at Clemson, has deep recruiting ties to this area, and a well-respected, is going to be a head coach somewhere, if not this year at Georgia Tech, the next year somewhere else. So, it would be interesting to see what Georgia Tech's done, but I'm sort of surprised it's taken him quite this long. I think what this indicates to me, Hugh, is that they got caught a little flat-footed by Paul Johnson's resignation. Sometimes you kind of know that things are happening,
mm-hmm.
And you could kind of prepare and begin over the last, let's say, month of the season to start the coaching search. Hey, we know coach is going to be out, or we're going to fire somebody, or he's going to leave. I wonder if they got caught flat-footed with the Paul Johnson thing.
I think they probably did a little bit, but I also think Ken Wisenhunt has gotten a job, John, but he can't announce it just yet. That's my thought. And I think that there are probably Coach Nate Woody is probably going to stay. This is my conspiracy theory. Okay. This is me reading the tea leaves because nothing has been said
right.
since Ken Wisenhunt has interviewed. And to my knowledge, nobody has come in after Ken Wisenhunt. So Ken Wisenhunt has the job, but in order for him to do everything that he needs to do, i.e. coach in L.A., the Chargers, and get the recruiting done, you kind of have to keep a staff there in place so that, you can keep things running until you can actually officially take the job. Because I don't think that with the Chargers doing what they're doing that you can officially announce that you're going to be the coach, because then you're going to have to answer questions about how are you going to do both? How are you going to juggle both things, being offensive coordinator and being the head coach of a college football team? So he can't make that announcement. So he's going to keep some coaches in place, and they're going to do the legwork for him, and they're just going to report back to him. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting because, this does kind of –
like that conspiracy theory?
Well, no, I mean, it's as good a theory as I've heard, I have no reason not to believe it. I can run with that.
No.
I mean, there's still so many rumors flying around. Well, but here's where I think he's got actually some merit, because nobody else has been named. I mean, if you wanted to go after Tony Elliott, or if you had wanted to go after Scott Satterfield, look how quickly Scott Satterfield left Appalachian to go to Louisville. That would have been a pretty quick thing. Tony Elliott, you could hire tomorrow. You could have hired him yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
You got your guy.
And Elliott would have probably had to do the same thing that Loxley did. I mean, Mike Loxley got hired. You're going to have to do both. You have to play the play. We get it. It sounds like he's got the guy. But I guess I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, it's not like you can wait till after the Super Bowl to name Wisenhunt your head coach. So at some point, he's going to have to deal with you can't go till February. I mean, you're going to go past both signing periods.
Why not?
Because it kills you as a program from a signing standpoint.
But
what kid,
John,
what, the kid that wants, is a recruiting nightmare.
Okay, John. Let's pull it back. It's not like, and no disrespect to Georgia Tech, but it's not like it's UGA or Alabama. You're already recruiting to a small pool of kids anyway that want to go to Georgia Tech, correct? So only thing that you really have to do is tell the kids that you've already recruited, like, listen. We got a coach in mind. We have somebody there. We can't announce it just yet, but everything's going to be okay. Like, that's Nate Woody's job, because you're only recruiting to a small pool of individuals that want to be engineers anyway.
Yeah, but you still can't. If you're a kid, and let's say, because I know other guys are like Nate Woody. Okay, let's say Nate Woody wants to interview, and we're hearing that he did maybe interview for the job. So if you don't name a head coach before December the 19th, who am I playing for?
Ken Wisenhunt.
You may not know that. What if it turns out to be somebody else?
If they've probably told those kids what's going on. Those kids probably know.
And here's the other
problem.
That's
probably be the worst kept secret in the world, but they've given them some indication.
Well, that, but that hadn't leaked out to anybody, because here's the other thing you got to keep in mind. If it's Ken Whisenhunt, what do you do if you're Tobias Oliver? Do you transfer? Is he going to use you in another role? Because you are not his quarterback.
You will be this year.
Oh, no.
John, what part of
they're not running that offense. They're going to be changing.
They're going to run a semblance of that offense. You're going to basically have to. For everything that you just said, you probably won't get to February. For every reason you just gave, that's why they're probably going to have to run that offense in Georgia Tech.
Hey, we have your full game day coverage coming up for Sunday, and our coverage starts 4 hours before kickoff with the Wade Ford tailgate show, which, of course, will not be on Northside Drive. Do not go down to Northside Drive for the Wade Ford tailgate show, because I'll be at studio this week. Why? Because the game in Green Bay. Okay, just saying. As we continue, we are counting down to Saturday night. Mike Connie in the bullpen and warming up.
On radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Seconds remain. Nagby volleys it over Etienne. Etienne and Nagby on the far touchline, and Nagby falls Etienne. Played up to Adams. Full time. The Kings of the South or the Kings of the East. Atlanta United will host the MLS Cup Final.
Mike Connie from Red Bull Arena as Atlanta United clinched the Eastern Conference Championship and now, of course, will host MLS Cup on Saturday night against the Portland Timbers in front of 72,000 or 73,000 or 74,000 or 75,000, where tickets, by the way, in the secondary market, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh, are going for nearly $400 a person. That is the get-in price, the get-in-the-building price for the Atlanta United MLS Cup game on Saturday night. Mike Connie, the aforementioned play-by-play voice, is joining us this morning. Talk a little bit about the event and the game and the team. Morning to you, Mike.
Morning, guys. What's up?
Mike Conti, does it feel like your calls are starting to become synonymous with Atlanta United? Because it feels that way to me, Mike Conti.
No, that's nice of you to say, but God, no. God, pity the team if that's the case. I've had a great time doing it, but this is by no means about me or Jason or anything like that. This is about the guys and what they've done out there on the pitch, and we've had a lot of fun describing it. Can't wait to do one more match, but no, God, no.
I'm not really sure about that, Mike. Not so fast. I'm over at the MVP announcement yesterday in front of 30 cameras and 100 media people crammed into a room with everybody in the Brain Trust. They run a little video of Joseph Martinez, and guess whose voice is all over that video?
Well, you know, those digital guys, I'm going to have to take them all out to steak dinner at Rathbun's, because they've been very, very good to me, putting me in those highlights this year.
We're talking with Mike Connie as we get ready for Portland and Atlanta United and a discussion of this. It is, you know, one of the things we're talking about today on our social media, our Facebook and our Twitter, is kind of just broadly about whether or not Atlanta's got a curse. I do not believe in the curse, Mike. I just don't. You cannot convince me that, you know, because, you know, there's a curse on a town where a team comes in as an expansion franchise, sells out every game, and has the success that it's had in 2 years, just crowned an MVP, a coach of the year, and is hosting an MLS Cup game in 2 years. That doesn't sound like a curse to me.
Yeah, and I mean, quite honestly, it's not supposed to be easy to win championships, guys. And that's where I cringe a little bit when I hear the word curse, because I don't think it's a curse. I think, you know, in reality, here in Atlanta, we've had almost unbelievably good runs with the Braves and with the Falcons going to two Super Bowls in 1998 and 2016. And, you know, the Hawks, I think, will get there one day. Georgia Tech won a college football national championship.
Went to a title game in basketball, right?
Yeah, and relatively recently in 2004, you know, we could have the debate, is UGA an Atlanta team? But they're in they're in the Sugar Bowl this year. They were in the national championship game last year. I mean, guys, it's not supposed to be easy to win championships. And Hugh knows this, having played in Philadelphia at a time where a lot of people up there were saying the same thing. I mean, Philadelphia went from 1983 to 2008 without a championship, and with very, very few championship final appearances with their four major stick and ball sports teams up there. So, no, I don't think it's a curse. I think it's just a testament to how difficult it is to win a championship. And quite frankly, I think Atlanta United may have spoiled us a little bit by getting there this quickly, because it's not supposed to be that easy to get to a championship match in your second year of existence.
You know, Mike, there are going to be some that are going to watch this match or getting prepared for this match, and they feel that way. How would you tell them, you know, if you could, and I know people are going to think the way that they want to think, but how would you tell them to watch this match and prepare for this match?
Well, I think, and there are a couple different schools of thought, I really think Portland is going to come in and play pretty much the same way they played here in June, which is very, very defensive-oriented, let Atlanta United possess the ball, everyone back in the defensive third, and make Atlanta United play through it. And when they can't play through it, try to hit them on a counter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a championship final, in a one-match championship final, I think you're going to see two teams that will go out there and play very, very conservatively. And I think Atlanta United will be kind of in that same boat where, you know, let's not take too many chances. Let's not put ourselves in a position where we could get down by a goal or multiple goals. If you get down by multiple goals to Portland, you're in real trouble, because they can bunker with the best of them, as we saw back in June. So I think Atlanta United will be content to possess the ball, but be very patient, try to pick their spots. And I think the big key to the match, Hugh, is going to be who earns the most dangerous set pieces. Because I really think the goals are going to come on set pieces and not an open play, because Portland is going to sit so many guys back defensively. So can Atlanta United earn a free kick just outside the box? Can they earn a bunch of corners? Can they maybe even draw a penalty? I mean, that would be pretty crazy to get a penalty in an MLS Cup final, but it's happened. That, I think, is what it would come down to for Atlanta United if they're going to score multiple goals in this game. They're going to have to get something off the set.
Does that say to you, Mike, then, that we have a potential surprise star of the game? I mean, everybody's going to focus on, obviously, your MVP candidates. I mean, Joseph Emigi finished 1-2, for crying out loud. But could that be, like you saw, you know, an Escobar step up? Could you see a Kevin Kratz if you're talking about, you know, spot fouls?
Could be Kratz. Yeah, I mean, certainly, if he's in the game. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, John, is, you know, if you're tied through extra time, you go to penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So that will, I think, come into play with the substitution strategy for both managers. You're not going to want to take Joseph Martinez out in the 88th minute, knowing there's a possibility you may need him to take a penalty at the very end. Same with Almiron, which might reduce the probability that Kratz would come on. You know, certainly that's a long way away, and I don't want to make a prediction. Honestly, I think if you're looking for the Walter Mitty of this match, and he's not anonymous by any stretch, but it's Julian Gressel, because in both meetings between Atlanta United and Portland Timbers, Gressel has scored. I think Gressel is going to be vital to this match for Atlanta United, maybe the most important player out there on the pitch that's not named Joseph or Miguel.
And you're talking about the game between Portland and Atlanta United on Saturday night. Our coverage begins in earnest from Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 2 Saturday afternoon, when Carl and I will host a show, and then that'll take you to Jason and Mike from 6 to game time. And, of course, Mike and Jason on the call at 8 with kickoff. It strikes me, Mike, Connie, that this team has done a pretty good job in terms of the fact that we have not really spoken about the fact this is going to be Tata Martino's final game, and that has not been a distraction at all to this club.
No, in fact, I think they've played better since we knew about it. Now, the Toronto result aside, but I don't think what happened in Toronto had anything to do with the knowledge that Tata Martino was leaving. I think there's a real genuine attitude. I believe these guys when they say that they're really trying to go out and win this for Tata. You know, Tata kind of took a little bit of a flyer in coming to MLS and coming to Atlanta United, someone of his background who had just managed Barca and had just managed Argentina. You know, for him to take a little bit of a punt, as they say, to come to MLS and Atlanta United, you know, that was quite honestly the biggest building block of the foundation for what this club has become, you know. And Tata's presence then enabled Atlanta United to go out and recruit players like Tito Villalba and Miguel Almiron. So I really think they want to win this for him. And I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but I really believe it when they say that. And I think you're right, John. I think it's a real testament to the resiliency of this club that they learn that their manager is not going to be returning, and they go out and they snap off two pretty dominant performances in the conference semifinals and the conference final.
So, Mike Conti, I know you're a professional, and you don't rehearse anything. But have you been thinking about the call that you're going to make when Atlanta United wins the MLS Cup?
Funny story on that, Hugh. So Monday, Arch and I are doing the coach's show up at Flowery Branch, and Dan Quinn asked me off the air that exact same question. He said, "Do you know what you're going to say if they win it?" And I go, "No." And the advice of guy, I've been very fortunate. I have some really great mentors in this industry who I've been able to lean on this week for some advice, and all of them, West Durham's one of them, and all of them have said, do not rehearse anything, you know, let it come naturally, which, by the way, is what I've done all year. I don't rehearse calls, contrary to what some believe. I don't rehearse calls. So, you know, whatever comes out of my mouth will be news to me on Saturday, win or lose. But Dan Quinn made a suggestion for something I should say, and I cannot repeat it on the air.
You got to be natural. You got to hold on to it. Hold on to it.
Well, no. But if I said it on the air, Hugh, I wouldn't have a job on Monday. So that one's going to stay in the lockbox, but I do appreciate Dan Quinn's suggestion.
And you know what I appreciate, Mike Conti? I appreciate your petty. I really, really do.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea at all.
None at all. But he said, and somebody told me to tell you, don't say it, just tweet it. It ain't the same thing as saying it. You tweet it. Yeah, just tweet it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, if we get a positive outcome Saturday night, I'll tweet it with maybe some asterisks and exclamation points and ampersand.
Cannot wait to hear your call, man, for real.
Well, I'm excited. You know, it's really starting to feel real now, guys. It's been a little surreal, but I went down yesterday to pick up my credential, and you know, it kind of feels very similar to me the way it felt going into the weekend down in Houston a couple years ago, where it's kind of surreal. All right, we're in the big game. You know you're going to do it, but it doesn't feel real. Now it feels real, and I'm getting nervous. I can only imagine how the supporters and the players are feeling, but let's enjoy this weekend because things like this don't happen often, and we're the home team of the championship, and we're the favorite, and that is a really, really cool spot to be in.
Mike, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday down at Mercedes-Benz. It's going to be a big night for the city, a big night for the franchise, and frankly, a huge night for the sport for the league because of the record crowd that's going to be on hand.
And John, let me tell you, having you and Carl involved in the pregame, I think kind of validates how 92.9 The Game feels about what we're doing on Saturday to have our morning drive and afternoon hosts involved in the coverage. I hope Atlanta United supporters understand that we're taking our commitment to covering this match very, very seriously. And, John, you're a big part of that.
Well, thank you, Mike, but I just want to hear your game-winning call. That's all I want to hear. I'm going to let it come natural to you, okay, Mike?
All right, guys.
Hey, thanks, Mike. All right, speaking of Carl Dukes, he's going to be with his running mate, Mike Bell. They're going to be broadcasting 2 to 7 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Friday, getting you ready for the big game on Saturday. Twin Peaks, start your weekend 2 to 7 Friday at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. When we get back in a moment, we venture into that area of the show known as Hugh's World.
Yes, well, I got things on my mind that I want to talk about. And I'll tell you more about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I love it.
And Atlanta United, the 2018 Eastern Conference Championship Trophy.
Congrats to our Atlanta United.
Now, it's on to the Cup Final versus Portland this Saturday.
Once you move into the playoffs, you can't really take any chances. You can't take any risks. You have to defend as a team. I thought we did that tonight.
Our Atlanta United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but somebody just sent me something. But Darryl, you already know what it is. You know what this segment is. Are you ready? You ready already? Well, fine. We'll go without the music. No, somebody just sent me a tweet of RG3, well, I just saw RG3's Christmas card from this year.
Uh-oh.
And, dude, like, I'm going to retweet it, but something is going on with this cat's hairline. we need to figure out. I mean, it's a conspiracy. It's a mystery. What's going on with this man's hairline? So I'm about to retweet that right now. But anyway.
Is the heptathlete, what the hell's her name?
Yeah, Greta something.
Greta, that's right.
Yeah.
She's still hot?
She fine. I mean, if you understand what fine means.
Okay.
I've met her before.
Yeah, she's fine.
Mike and Eric and I went down to a Florida State-Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happened to, this was before she dated him, obviously. She was a heptathlete for the school. I was like, oh.
Boy, his hairline, something ain't right.
What's wrong with his hairline?
You see that little cul-de-sac cut out on the side?
Yeah, he needs a better lining.
He's lining his own hair.
That's bad.
It is awful.
D, it looked like he cut it and then just said,
he's lining his own hair.
Yeah, you need to stop that. RG3, stop cutting your own hair,
bro. Y'all was on him at first when he had the plaits in his head.
What you mean? Yeah, I was on him. I did. I was one of them. Matter of fact, I was one of the ones.
He fell asleep at the mirror, Hugh.
Yeah. But I want to give two people some props. Well, I want to give one person props, and I know, John Freaky, you're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
But yesterday, it was yesterday, an anonymous customer recently spent like $93,000 to pay off roughly 400 layaway items at a New Orleans Walmart. And you would never guess who that anonymous person was.
Drew Brees.
Close. It was Gail Benson. And she paid off all of these people's. Look, why are you mad, though? Was a cool gesture.
No,
that
I'm
was
mad.
A really cool gesture.
I didn't have anything on layaway at the Walmart.
It was a Louisiana Walmart. I didn't, but you knew what it was. You knew where I was going with that. Mm-hmm. Louisiana Walmart. She paid off all their.
Can you prepay bail bonds down at the Walmart?
That wasn't where I was going with that, John Freaky. That wasn't where I was going, but I feel your pain. This
You're
going
to need a bail bond today.
This is the time where I was just trying to get a lady some props. And another guy that I want to get some props to, Ezekiel Elliott. Well, I want to just say what's going on with the NFL, man, because Ezekiel Elliott's getting fined. I think it's like somewhere in the neighborhood of $13,000, something weird like that, for dropping $21 in a Salvation Army
Which is
kettle,
ridiculous.
Which is super ridiculous. You know why? Because last year, I don't recall, AT, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I don't recall last year there being an issue with him jumping in the kettle after he scored that touchdown.
2 years ago.
Well, 2 years. Thank you. Thank you.
No, right.
But it was not an issue.
Yeah, it was.
It was an issue. Yeah. There was an issue then.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous then. This is super ridiculous. In a year where the NFL has embraced all these celebrations, when guys, you know, they run down to the end of the field and they're taking pictures like they're taking photos and all this other stuff. A couple weeks ago, I forgot who it was, had a celebration of AI stepping over to coach Tyronn Lue in the game against the Lakers when the Sixers played against the Lakers in the championship game. You're going to find this man for dropping actual cash in the till. That was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give out a special shout out to this dude. I can't remember where he was from, but he gets the Petty Award. His name is Alan Markovitz. And Alan Markovitz gets the Petty Award because he was so petty, he moved next door to his ex-wife, John.
Mm-hmm.
And he erected a statue in the backyard for they could see of a big old middle finger so she could see that every day living next door to him. And basically, he basically erected it to say that he was over his wife. But my thing is this. You can't be over your ex-wife if you move in next door to her and then go out of your way to pay $7 for a statue to put in the backyard if she can see it that says, you know, you're number one, but with the middle finger. That's kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that is.
That is kind of ridiculous to me.
A little over the top.
Yeah, a little bit over the top.
Am I wrong, but this music is, it sounds like it's 3:14 in the morning and I'm drinking Camo.
Yes, but it's
at the end of the night.
It's to calm you down. I kind of like
it's
the music.
Music for the pipe.
It kind of calms you down.
Or to soothe the savage beast.
Yes. And I like that. I just like it. And tonight, this is an event. You know what's going on tonight as well as the football game with the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
What's that?
The Video Game Awards. The Video Game Awards will be streamed on your TV, your iPhone, or your computer. And some of the nominations for Game of the Year.
Uh-huh.
You ready for this, John? You don't play none of these games, but I do.
Fortnite's got to be Game of the Year, right?
Fortnite's not on the list for Game of the Year.
Oh.
Recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. Number one, well, this is not in no particular category, but Assassin's Creed, a game called Celeste that I've never played. God of War. God of War was a good game. Marvel Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2, which I find kind of interesting because Red Dead Redemption 2 just came out. Now, to your point, the best ongoing game awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. Destiny 2, Forsaken, a game that I play like religiously all the time. Fortnite is one of those games, John Freaky, and No Man's Sky, and Overwatch. Overwatch is like a knockoff of Fortnite, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. I've never played Rainbow Six before. I mean, I played it, but I haven't played it online.
I like the book. The book was very good.
I never played it online. Some of the other categories tonight is like best gaming direction, best narrative for games. What else we have up here? And just basically directions. Direction for games. So that's going on tonight. So all y'all video gamers tonight, that will be going on. What else I got here? Oh, yeah, we talked about the Colin Kaepernick thing. That was kind of ridiculous. Like, Colin Kaepernick has not played football in, what, 2-3 years?
It's been 2016,
so, right? So 2 years. So why would you even bring his name up knowing that it could potentially be a lightning rod for something negative? That was ridiculous to me. And so why the Redskins even went out of their way to say something like that or even mention his name, I think that was totally ridiculous. And you just put a bullseye on your back that you really didn't need. Oh, yeah, and another thing I want to say before we get ready to go. I'm thinking about cooking fish next week, so I just want to let y'all know I'm going to be warming up fish in the microwave.
Oh, no, not here.
I just want to let y'all know.
No.
I'm just saying.
Microwaves downstairs. Yeah.
No, I'm saying it's catfish, though. No. Catfish don't stink. Yeah. Catfish does not stink. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Hey, catfish man. Don't I'll smell. Partake in
you,
the catfish.
You know what? You can eat it cold.
catfish. I see what you're doing, AT.
Catfish don't stink, though. You probably don't want my catfish, AT, because it ain't going to be that
no season.
It ain't going to be seasoned like that. It ain't going to be seasoned
That. Then let us heat up our food first at the very least.
It doesn't stink. It's catfish. It's not like I'm cooking like cod or something like that.
Who eats bland catfish?
You.
I'm gonna eat the bland
weirdo.
I'm gonna eat it with the black pepper, the blackened pepper. Yeah, the bland chicken. The chicken be tasting it's a little. Yeah. But I just want to let y'all know
before it come on nasty.
Yeah, forget you, Dale.
If it stinks, we're gonna have an issue.
Talking about my cooking.
I never took it.
I just want to share that with y'all before next week. I plan on cooking fish. It don't stink though. I just want to get a heads up.
You better hope it doesn't. Hawks fans, heads up that the game for coverage of the Hawks in Denver starts Saturday 7 p.m. on our sister station, Star 94.1. If you're looking for the Hawks and Denver Nuggets Saturday, and of course we encourage you to check out the game by going to State Farm Arena. And tickets available at Hawks.com. All right, when we get back, the Atlanta – I'm just writing down a list of the awards this year. Atlanta has had a run. What a 2018 for the Braves and United. Ahead of Taylor Twellman joining us in the next hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.